Hi, welcome to Endometriosis Journey to Butterfly. My name is Letitia. In today's episode, I will talk about all things surgery. I'll talk about why I need to have surgery. Also, I'll go through the procedure of what I had to go through prior to surgery and everything that you need to know if you have to have laparoscopic surgery for endometriosis as well. Well, let's get started with first on why I need to have the surgery. They've assumed that I've had endometriosis probably for the last 14, 15 years, but I've never gotten a laparoscopic procedure, which is the way that they really determine if you have endometriosis or not. So a few months ago, I had really, really bad pain that lasted about a week and a half and sent me to the emergency room. There they did an ultrasound and discovered that I had a cyst on my left ovary that was very painful. That pain still did not go away for like another week or so. Well, I had really bad pain on the right side, but my cyst was on the left side. So they told me I needed to follow up with my OBGYN, which I did. But I wasn't able to get in with my OBGYN right away. It took about 3 to 4 weeks to get in. When I went in to see her, then I talked about my symptoms. I've been to ER, I've never been in so much pain before, I've never had a cyst before, it was very, very painful. The pain started like before my period, got worse during my period, all of that. We talked about different things and basically came up with the conclusion that maybe it's time that we check for endometriosis. That's honestly one of the only tests that they have not done at this point. And I'm in a lot of pain, and I don't know what I need to do about it. Also, after having that severe pain and cyst and all of that, I did decide to stop the birth control pill, which was something that I'd been thinking about anyway. But all of this pain and having to go to the ER, I've never wanted to go to the ER so bad in life, made me decide that maybe it was time to listen to my body and get off the pill. Because I did read that estrogen, which is part of what is in the pill, feeds the cyst. And I'm like, I don't need to make the cyst any worse than it is, because I was miserable. So the doctor decided that she was going to do laparoscopic surgery. Told me a little bit about it. It's an outpatient procedure. Gave me a pamphlet about it. And basically told me the surgery schedule would be calling me shortly. So, honestly, never had surgery before, so was totally freaked out. Don't really like pain, don't like needles, thought of being cut just terrifies me to no end, so we have that. So anyway, I wait for the surgery schedule or phone call. So she called me back later on in the week. So the first appointment that she had for surgery was approximately a month out. And she put me on the schedule. She told me it would be one of the first surgeries of the morning for the doctor, and gave me a few instructions, but told me that they would call me the night before to tell me the exact time that I needed to arrive to the hospital for my surgery, because they wouldn't know until then. So then we wait. Oh, it's a long wait. So surgery at this point is approximately about 4 weeks out. So I start researching online. What can I find out about the surgery? What can I find about recovery? Talked to some of my friends. One of my friends did have a laparoscopic procedure, so she kind of told me what it was about. Some of my other friends had not had that particular procedure. They'd had other procedures that were similar, so they gave me some tips as well. So I am just taking all of their advice, writing some tips, Googling, watched some YouTube videos about some women who had the procedure, was looking at their recovery, what they had to say. So basically just absorbing information, and also looking over the pamphlet that the doctor had given me as well. So trying to figure out, you know, one of the major things is you're going to be extra bloated and your tummy is going to be sore. So what clothes do you wear? Was one of the big things. So my whole thing is like, what do I wear that's not going to touch my incisions or near my stomach, that's going to be loose enough that it's not going to be restricting to my stomach, and that's just like loose and flow fitting? Because that's what one of my friends told me. She's like, you want to make sure, you know, you wear comfortable clothes, not anything tight, stuff like that. So like not jeans. So, you know, you want to wear like flowy pants, sweatpants, something like that. I'm like, okay. So I'm a jeans or t-shirt kind of girl. Or I, you know, also like dresses and skirts as well. But I'm not really a wear yoga pants or sweatpants at unless we're going to the gym or I'm walking to, you know, train for a 5K or something. So it's like I have to kind of change my mindset and be like, okay, I've got to find something that's going to be comfortable for me and that's not going to be tight on my stomach with bloating and stuff. Because they do put gas in your stomach when they do this procedure, so your stomach will be bloated for a while. So that's what I need to keep in mind. Also, something else to keep in mind is that your stomach may also be upset after surgery. So my whole thing was just trying to get everything prepared before surgery. What kind of foods do I need? What kind of drink? You know, drink lots of fluids, water, all of that. Ginger ale. Trying to figure out what fluids I need. Do I need to get new clothes? You know, also, I'm going to relax. So, like, not scheduling anything for the next, you know, 2 to 3 weeks. So, just trying to get everything done in the next 4 weeks. So when I do have surgery, I can just be in relaxed mode for the next 2 to 3 weeks, which ideally would put me till the end of the month. So I would be able to just go on from there and hopefully everything would go well. So that's what I'm trying to do, get everything done. You know, do I have just anything, you know, like if I had anything scheduled, I was just trying to schedule everything out for either before my surgery or after my surgery. Not anything too close after, because I didn't know how it was going to feel or what. So that was the major thing, was operation, get things done before surgery, if not, schedule it after. So another thing that happened a couple weeks before surgery was I had a pre-op appointment. Again, never had surgery. Don't know what a pre-op appointment is. But the lady called from the hospital and said, you know, we need to schedule an appointment. Takes about an hour and a half. So, you know, it's a couple weeks before just to make sure everything's done. And you're ready for surgery day. Okay. Really wasn't sure what to expect at this point. But did go in to a pre-op appointment. Basically, pre-op appointment is just getting you ready for surgery. So, met with the nurse, of course, go over medical history, kind of go over things about the procedure, take your blood, make sure everything's okay with that, give you day of surgery procedures, night before, give you special shampoo that you have to shower with the night before surgery, as well as the day of surgery. Also talk with the anesthesiologist, again, because of medication, different things, ask you questions about medical history, just to make sure that you're okay being put to sleep. So they do, put you to sleep for the procedure, of course, so they need to check with that. Also you meet with the pharmacist, so they can tell you what medications to stop taking prior to surgery, and if you can, what medicines to take, you can take on the day of surgery, because they cut off your eating at 11 o'clock, night before surgery, so you can't eat then. So, medicine I had to stop taking, multivitamin, so I had to stop taking my multivitamin for about a couple weeks. because I had already taken it for the day by the time I saw him, because my appointment was in the afternoon.
The good thing about going for a pre-op appointment is that it lets you know exactly what's going on and what you need to do. So, I needed to stop taking my multivitamin, as I say, for about 2 weeks. And then the other medicine, just didn't take medicine during the day of surgery. So that's on that. One of the cool things also about that is that it lets you know your... Then they do your blood test. It tells you your blood type. Never knew my blood type before, so I thought that was pretty cool. And then they have special soap that you have to use. So then they just scribe that. So that took a little less than an hour and a half. But they gave me a packet full of information that told me more about surgery, told me more about the hospital, what to expect, all of that. So that's a little better with knowing what to expect. Day of surgery and different things that I needed to do. Still trying to figure out exactly what needed to be done. So that was about approximately 2 weeks pre-op. So in terms of clothes, I had some clothes that were basically baggy at this point because I had lost some weight over the last so many months. So I did have some clothes that were bigger, so I just decided I would just wear my bigger shirt since they were baggy, and then I would just wear some pajama pants, and then I did have a pair of sweatpants that were a little bigger too. So we figured out the clothes, we've had our pre-op appointment, so the next thing is trying to figure out what can I eat since my stomach might be, like, I was told you might be on like a kind of bland diet the first day, you know, like when you're sick, then you're like on a liquid diet, which is not my favorite. Soup is not, I am not a fan of soup. Don't even like soup when I'm sick. So I'm like not looking forward to having to have soup, but you know, I did get some cans of soup, got Jell-O, I like applesauce, my friends like tea, different things, ginger ale, so I was getting stuff from the store, so I had my clothes, so I was getting my food and fluids. Some people recommended a pillow. I already had a small pillow, put it in, you know. Another thing, that's another thing that they talked about during the pre-op appointment is to pack a small bag. So, never had surgery or never stayed in the hospital or anything like that, so wasn't really sure what was needed in the small bag. And so I read up on it, asked around, asked the nurse all about it, and they're just like something, you know, looking at a YouTube video, a lady was saying she just packed her comfort things and different things like a charger, book, different things just in case your surgery's running behind, you could wait, or in case you have to stay at the hospital longer and recovery and all of that. So I had a small pillow that I did pack in the bag. I didn't pack that much in my bag, honestly. Did have my phone charger, had my smartwatch charger just in case it died. Had a book in there, had a pad, had pad and paper, or like a journal in there in case I wanted to write things down about surgery, ask questions. Of course, I had my phone, my purse, even my bag, just things like that, just a couple things. It wasn't that big of a bag, and my pillow was like a little small pillow. Then some people, what I read and or saw in their YouTube video, was that your seatbelt sometimes irritates people's stomach. But I, you know, took it, like I said, just in case. I was reading all this and put all that in there. And then some people pack an extra pair of clothes. I did not pack an extra pair of clothes in my bag to go to the hospital. I just wore my comfy clothes. Talked to a friend about that, and she's like, it's better just to wear your clothes as opposed to pack them. I guess some people wear one outfit to the hospital, then after surgery they wear another one. I just wore my comfy outfit to the hospital. So that's what was in my bag. So we're getting to other, you know, just trying to figure out other things at this point. 2 days, I mean 2 weeks until is getting a little scary, because I don't, you know, I'm someone who's a planner. I like to know what to expect. And I really, at this point, with surgery, do not know what to expect. So I'm just trying to take in all the information, read, trying to get things done. So the 2 weeks before surgery, after the pre-op appointment, is pretty much just, let's get everything done, trying to exercise and try to get appointments done. If I had anything else that was pressing, run errands, do all of that. Try to just, drink as much water as I can, try to stay hydrated. So it's just all of that, trying to get my body prepared for surgery. So, drinking water is good anyway, so it's always a good idea to drink a lot of water anyway. And also, at this point, I was also starting to think about what I was going to do after surgery. Like, what changes to make and all of that. Like, a lot of, like, natural things and all of that, make changes, because I really did not want to feel the way I was feeling, just sending to the ER with that cyst, ever again in life. Never had a cyst before, even though, you know, they tried to tell me a cyst is normal, women get them all the time, this and that, and it's like, I've had my period for like 25 years, never had a cyst before. Pray that I never get another cyst, because they are very painful, and it's not any, you know, I pray that no one has something that causes that much pain that sends them to the ER, and nothing, no pain medicine helps them. It is just very, very frustrating. It's worse than cramps, like cramps. Compared to the cyst pain, you know, cramps are like nothing, honestly. The pain was that severe and that intense that it's like cramps. Oh, cramps are no big deal compared to that. So, we are getting close to surgery time. So, then I'm just waiting for, like, you know, basically the day before surgery to figure out what time I have to be at the hospital for check-in. And then normally we have to be at check-in about give or take a couple hours before the actual surgery. So if she tells me I'm going to be in the morning, and she told me she thinks my check-in is probably going to be early, well, I'm probably going to be waking up at least at probably I'm probably going to be waking up if my check-in's like, I don't know what the earliest check-in they have, but I'm thinking it's going to be like an early day, like maybe I might, like, just a guesstimate. I have to wake up probably like around 4 or something maybe, and I'm not really a morning person, so that'll be a fun day to wake up at 4 and because I gotta, you know, take my shower and get ready and give myself enough time to get there and get dressed and all of that, and that'll be quite an experience. So I have already tentatively thinking ahead, planned for setting my alarm early. I don't know exactly what time yet, but I'm a planner, as you'll figure out. Know that I'm going to get up early for the laparoscopic surgery. and just do that. But I have been trying to do things to keep my mind off of having surgery. So, like I said, walking. I've watched some movies on Netflix. Been trying to do whatever I can to get my mind off of how freaked out I am. I know a lot of you can probably relate to fear of surgery or this and that. And it's just not necessarily, it's just, I guess, fear of unknown. Not really sure what'll come from it. Honestly, I am, like, pretty sure that I probably do have endometriosis. Just not sure, like, how bad it is as opposed to what stage it is. Like, I have a feeling that I have bowel endometriosis, so probably on my bowel as well. I'm just not sure, like, all the different places it is or how, like I said, how bad it is. I feel personally like it's gotten worse over the years. So I don't know if that's why my cyst is so bad. If it's feeding off the endometriosis and or vice versa, or if they're feeding off each other. But I do know that if something is wrong in there, and it's time that I do get it checked out and figure out exactly how bad it is, where it is, what we can do about it. I have decided do not want to go on birth control pills again. Just do not want to do that. Want to try to do a natural approach. So I've been thinking about natural healing, natural things that I can do. If anybody has suggestions or anything they've tried, you know, feel free to email me, let me know. I have a friend that I've talked about some things, natural things, look things up online. I have some groups that talk about some great different things on Instagram. Facebook has some, just social media has a lot of different groups that talk about the topic. So there's a lot of information out there. And then just more than anything, you know, advocate for yourself. You just have to advocate for yourself and do what's best for you and your body. No one knows your body like you. No one knows what's best for your body like you. Some of your decisions are not going to make other people happy, and that's okay. They're not going to be happy with the decision. Like, I'm sure my OBGYN is not happy with my decision to stop my birth control pill and is not happy with my decision that I'm not going back on birth control pill. But I feel like that's what's best for me and my body. I have tried that. That's not really working for me. So don't be afraid to speak up for what's best for you. It's not being disrespectful. It's not disobeying. It's not this and that. It's doing what's best for you. This is your life. You have to live it. You have to live with the consequences. You have to live with the pain. You're the one that has to go through all of that. Endometriosis can be very painful at times. So, you know, maybe something that works for some people, or something that the doctor or whoever prescribes for you, maybe that works for some people. Maybe your body doesn't respond well to it, and that's okay. So you need to find what responds well for your body, just like with anything else. Some people respond well to this and that. I mean, just like with diet and exercise, some people are able to lose weight faster and easier than other people. You gotta find what exercise and what type of diet works for you. Everyone's not the same. We're not cookie cutters. Everyone is unique. So find what works for your body and what's best for you. It's trial and error. Don't be afraid to try new things. You know, try new things for a while. If it doesn't work, then try something else. But don't not try something because you're afraid that it may not work, or because someone's not on board with it. Whether it be a family member, a doctor, whoever it is, just, you know, if you want to try natural healing or try, you know, something different, you don't want to do birth control, or that, you know, you don't want to have an IUD, or you don't want to do this, or you don't want to do that, then, you know, do what's best for you. This is your body, and you are the one that has it, so you're the one that has to live it, so do whatever is best for you. So, in terms of surgery, one of the best things you can do is just ask about the procedure, figure out what's going on with it, what is it about. Like I said, the doctor gave me a brochure about it, told me a little bit about it, make an incision in my belly button, make 2 incisions, possibly 3. What I know for sure, there's going to be 1 incision on the right side, 1 incision on the left side, possibly another incision up above the belly button. They are like approximately 1 inch or so, the ones on the side. Didn't talk about the one in the belly button, didn't tell me how what the measurement of that one is. Put me to sleep and all of that. So make sure, you know, you ask questions if you don't understand anything. Be sure, you know, I know that I am thinking of questions that I have to ask, and I've, you know, asked them at my pre-op appointment, and I know that I'm going to ask, when can I, you know, like, when can I start walking again, different things like that. Is one of them, just different things. I know I'll be asking some questions day of surgery. I'm a question person. Write down your questions. Don't be afraid to ask different questions to see what's going on. Like I said, I have just been doing a lot of research, talking to people. I plan on asking questions when I go for my post-op question, when I go for my post-op after surgery. I plan on asking questions then about, you know, things that happened after surgery and all of that. Make sure you write down your questions or whatever situations that arise. And I'm going to ask about how to day of, you know, I'm going to ask about, you know, stitches. Do the stitches have to be removed? Do they dissolve? What do I need to do with them? When can I shower? Just all types of questions like that. I asked pre-op. Nurse pre-op was not sure about the stitches, so I have to ask the doctor about all of that. But those are important questions on what to know. You know, hopefully, you know, they told me I would see the doctor before surgery, so I will make sure I ask those questions then, because I may not see the doctor in recovery. Not sure. I may not be awake well enough to ask those questions, but remember to ask those questions. If you're going through endometriosis, please make sure that you get it checked out. Go see the doctor. Talk about all of your symptoms, no matter what they are. Make sure that you get it taken care of. It's not anything to play around with. I'm praying for you. I hope that everything goes well for you. It's not something that we should, it's just something that we should talk about more, honestly. I don't think endometriosis is talked about enough. That's why I wanted to do this podcast, talk about my journey. I think it's something that we definitely need to let people be aware of, let them know about it, let them know that it definitely affects women's lives, it affects our moods, it affects our bodies, sometimes it affects fertility, definitely affects periods, can affect all types of things. So it's something that we need to let other people be aware of, and it's something also we need to talk about with women of all ages. You know, it can start, if, you know, anyone with a period can have it. So we need to make sure we talk to our young girls as well. You know, they could be having endometriosis. You know, heavy bleeding is not normal. Having cramps is not normal. It may not just be endometriosis. It could be anything. But having a period that's painful like that is not normal. Not normal to have painful sex. Not normal to have painful bowel movements. Bloating is not normal. Inflammation, all of that is just not normal things to have. So if you're having one or any of those issues, I urge you to please go get it checked out at the doctor. Just go, you know, you only have one life. You have to take care of it. Your health is so important. So important. You need to do whatever you can to have the best health. So please advocate for yourself if you need to. Please don't be afraid to go see the doctor. If you have to have a surgical procedure or go into surgery, you know, please don't be afraid to do that. We as women have so much responsibility on us with just everything in life. So we have to take care of ourselves. No one else will do it for us. Just the most important thing is our body. We just have to make sure that we do everything that we can to keep it healthy. And whatever we can do to make that happen, we should do it. Well, that's all for this episode. In my next episode, which will be in a few weeks, I will be talking about surgery the day of. It'll be surgery day. I will talk about what happened on surgery day. I will talk about recovery. I will talk about post-op. So please tune in so we can hear how the surgery went. Got me having to get up early, and just basically how amazing surgery day was, how I got through it, about all of the things that I feared and how it ended up being A-okay. Well, thanks again for listening to Endometriosis, Journey to a Butterfly. I'm Letitia. Until next time, take care of yourself and your bodies. Thank you for listening. Have a great day.